This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على خير خلق الله أجمعين وعلى آله وصحبه ومن اهتدى بهديه واستنى بسنته إلى يوم الدين اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما وأرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه واجعلنا ممن يستمعون القول فيتبعون أحسنه أما بعد السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. So last week we went through the name of Allah, Ar-Rabb. And so far we've gone through three names of Allah since we began. What are they? Ar-Rabb last week and before that, the week before that. Allah and Al-Ilah. So we started with Allah and Al-Ilah. And then we covered the name of Allah, Ar-Rabb. And now today we move on to two names of Allah that are also very significant and are mentioned many, many times in the Quran. And so these are two names of Allah that are related to Allah's attribute of mercy. And so they are Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim. And so Allah's mercy is one of His greatest attributes. And the two names of Allah that refer to His mercy, His rahmah, are these two names, Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim. And these two names, they come together in a few instances. For example, every surah begins with it. And so Jibreel alayhi salam, when he would come down with a new surah to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he would begin with the basmala. He would begin by saying Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. And so every single surah, it begins with that, with the exception of which surah? Surah At-Tawbah. Surah At-Tawbah. Also, these two names come together in which two surahs of the Quran? They come together, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, in two surahs in the Quran. I don't mean in the beginning, I don't mean Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, but within the surah. The first is in Surah Al-Fatiha. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. And what is the other surah in which Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim are mentioned together? Saba, is that right? It's mentioned in the story of Sulaiman when he said, or in the story of Sulaiman when he sent the letter to Bilqis in Surah An-Naml, in Surah An-Naml, verse 31. إِنَّهُ مِن سُلَيْمَانَ وَإِنَّهُ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ. And so Sulaiman عليه السلام started his letter by saying بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ. Now when these two names, we've seen examples of when these two names are mentioned together. However, when they are mentioned individually, when each name is mentioned on its own, then Rahman is usually mentioned on its own in general, referring to Allah. For example, Allah says, Ar-Rahmanu 'ala al-'arshi istawa. Ar-Rahman settled above the throne. So it's a name being used to refer to Allah. Just like throughout the Quran, Allah says, Allah has done such and such. Allah created such and such. Allah did this, Allah did that. Ar-Rahman is used like that. Another example, in Surah Maryam, Ibrahim alayhi salam says to his father, Ya abati inni akhafu an yamassaka adhabun min ar-Rahman. My father, I fear that a punishment will touch you from who? He doesn't say from Allah, he says from ar-Rahman. Also Surah Ar-Rahman, it's mentioned on its own. Ar-Rahman, that's how the surah starts. The point is, Ar-Rahman, when it's mentioned on its own. On the other hand, Ar-Rahim, when it is mentioned, either it's mentioned specifically that Allah is being merciful to a certain people. So for example, وَكَانَ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَحِيمًا in Surah Al-Ahzab. Allah says, and Ar-Rahim, and Ar-Rahim showed his mercy to the believers. Or Ar-Rahim comes together with other names of Allah. Who can give me an example? Besides Ar-Rahman. Ar-Rahim comes in the Quran together with other names of Allah. Like for example, you have Al-Aziz Al-Hakim. Right? Ar-Rahim comes with other names, such as Al-Aziz Al-Rahim. That's one example. Another example? A very common example in the Quran. Al-Ghafoor Al-Rahim. Al-Tawwab Al-Rahim. Al-Barr Al-Rahim. So what is the difference between these two names if they both are referring to the mercy, the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Then what is the difference between the two? There are generally two opinions of the scholars regarding the difference between the two. The first is that Ar-Rahman refers to the all-encompassing mercy of Allah for all of His creation in this dunya. But it is specific to the believers in the Akhirah. This is Ar-Rahman. On the other hand, Ar-Rahim refers to Allah's specific mercy for the believers in this dunya and the next. Okay, so this is the first opinion, that Ar-Rahman is the all-encompassing mercy for all of Allah's creation in this dunya, and specific for the believers in the Akhirah. Whereas Ar-Rahim is Allah's mercy only for the believers in this dunya and the next. The second opinion is that Ar-Rahman is an attribute of Allah's very essence, of Allah's very being. Meaning that Allah is described as being the most merciful. Irrespective of whether He shows that mercy to others or not, He is, in and of Himself, He is Ar-Rahman, the most merciful. While Ar-Rahim refers to the attribute of Allah, an attribute of action, whereby Allah's mercy is seen in action, and the result can be seen on His creation. So do we understand the difference between the two? Ar-Rahman refers to Allah's description of being the most merciful. Whereas Ar-Rahim refers to that mercy being carried out, that mercy being put into action. And so this is why we see that Allah uses Ar-Rahim to describe Himself as being the one who shows mercy to His creation. In that verse that we just mentioned, in Surah Al-Ahzab, verse 43, وَكَانَ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَحِيمًا. And He was merciful towards the believers. وَكَانَ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَحِيمًا. He didn't say وَكَانَ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَحْمَانًا. Finally, regarding the difference between Rahman and Rahim, Rahman is not used for anyone besides Allah. It is not a name that we can use to describe people. Whereas on the other hand, Rahim is used to describe people. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as being Rahim. لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ مَا عَنِتُّمْ حَرِيصٌ عَلَيْكُمْ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَؤُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ. A messenger has come to you from among yourselves. He is concerned about your well-being, and He is gracious and merciful to the believers. So Allah describes him as being Rahim. And you could describe a person as being merciful by using that name. So if you want to say so-and-so is merciful in the Arabic language, you would say he is Rahim. But you wouldn't say he is Rahman. Why is that? Why is it that we can use Rahim but not Rahman?
What I confused about with Rahim is the English word I believe is beneficent.
Yeah, that goes back to the different translations that we have. You know, depending on which translation you use, there are different translations. These are all attempts by people to, you know, explain it or to make a differentiation between Rahman and Rahim. But otherwise, the difference is, as I mentioned, Rahman refers to Allah as being described as the merciful one, and Rahim is that mercy being shown. Some, they translate it as the most gracious, the most merciful. Some they translate it as Ar-Rahman is the eternal or the all-encompassing, the eternal merciful, and Ar-Rahim as being the exclusive merciful, meaning exclusive for the believers. So there's different translations out there, compassionate as well. But why is it that we can't use the name Rahman? In the Arabic language, Rahman is on the scale of, for those of you who have studied Arabic grammar, you have, for example, fa'il. It's a scale that is used. The doer, fa'il. What is Rahman, on which scale is it? It's on the scale of fa'lan. And what that means is, if you want to describe someone who is filled with a certain characteristic, you would use that scale of fa'lan. For example, you would say, If someone is extremely angry, you would say he's غضبان. You wouldn't say غاضب. غاضب means someone who is angry. غضبان means someone who is very angry. كسلان, someone who is very lazy. سكران, someone who is very drunk. And so on and so forth. Rahman is on that same scale to describe Allah as being filled with mercy. And so no one else can be described as being filled with this attribute of mercy to its max besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that is why Rahman is exclusive to Allah, whereas Rahim is not. Now, when it comes to the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there are many different hadith in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam described the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In one hadith, Umar radiallahu anhu narrates that some captives of war, they were brought to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And among them was a woman. This woman, she was looking for someone. And so she looked around her surroundings, desperately looking for someone among all the soldiers and the captives, until she saw what she was looking for. She ran, picked him up, and hugged him and started to nurse him. It was her baby. This was this woman's baby. After witnessing this scene, what did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say? He said, "Do you think that this woman would throw her child in the fire?" So the companions, they said, "No. By Allah, she would never do such a thing. She's not able to do such a thing." So when the Prophet ﷺ heard this answer from the companions, what did he say? لَاللَّهُ أَرْحَمُ بِعِبَادِهِ مِنْ هَذِهِ الْمَرْأَةِ بِوَلَدِيهَا. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is more merciful to His servants than this woman is with her child. And Ibn Qayyim, rahimahullah, he mentions a story that he said has been mentioned and is quite known, either in his time or before his time, where a scholar once saw that there was a small boy who was kicked out of home by his mother. So she kicked him out and she locked the door on him. The child, he went thinking, "Okay, what should I do now? Where should I go?" But then he realized, "I have nowhere to go. No one else would care for me as much as my mother." So he goes back. He goes back home, but obviously he can't go inside. He stays at the doorstep until he falls asleep. The mother, she comes out, and she sees him in this state. And, you know, out of her affection, she picks him up and she hugs him. And she says to him, "Didn't I tell you not to disobey me? Didn't I tell you not to disobey me? Because My very nature is to be merciful towards you. And so Ibn Qayyim, he says that this shows, this is an example of what the Prophet ﷺ spoke of in that hadith. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is far more merciful with us than a mother is towards her child. This is one hadith describing the mercy of Allah. In another hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, Allah has divided mercy into 100 parts. And sent out of these 100 parts, He sent down one part to the dunya. And then He said, through this one part, the creatures, they deal with one another with compassion. So much so that an animal lifts its hoof, its leg over its young one out of fear that he might trample his baby. And then he, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, said, so one part is sent down to the dunya, and this is the mercy we see between us and even the animals, and 99 parts Allah retained with him. 99 parts Allah left with him. What did he leave it for? He left it for the day of judgment. 99 parts Allah left for the day of judgment. And so imagine if the mercy that we see here on earth, this is only one fraction, 1%. And that 99% Allah has kept with him, and he's saving it for the day of judgment. Then imagine the mercy of Allah on that day. The third hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that when Allah completed the creation, He wrote in His book that is with Him on His throne, إِنَّ رَحْمَتِي سَبَقَتْ غَضَبِي, that my mercy has prevailed over my anger. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is also described as being angry. However, in this hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us that Allah's mercy has prevailed over His wrath and over His anger. Now, what are some of the things that this name teaches us? There are many things that we can learn from these two names of Allah, Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim. The first thing that the mercy of Allah, the first thing that it teaches us is to put our hope in Allah's mercy and not to ever despair of the mercy of Allah. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, speaking of Himself, He says, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. Say to them, O Muhammad, O my servants, this is Allah speaking, O my servants who have exceeded the limits, who have transgressed against their souls, who have done all the sins out there, those who have transgressed all the limits of the disobedience of Allah, Allah is speaking to them, that, oh, my servants who have exceeded and transgressed all the limits, do not lose hope in the rahmah of Allah. Do not lose hope in the mercy of Allah. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا. Indeed, Allah forgives all sins. إِنَّ اللَّهَ إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. He is the all-forgiving, the most merciful. And as Ibn Qayyim, he describes how the believer should travel in his journey to Allah. He describes it like a bird. Love is the head, meaning that the thing that should push us and drive us to obey Allah, to worship Allah, should be out of love for Allah. And its two wings are hope and fear. Hope and fear. What does he mean by that? What he means by that is, on the one hand, you should fear Allah's punishment. On the one hand, you should fear the punishment of Allah. However, your fear of that punishment should not lead you to despair, where you think, I have too many sins, and Allah cannot forgive me. I'm drowning in sin, I'm finished, I'm doomed. I've lost all hope. So yes, we should fear Allah, and that's one wing, but we should balance it out with the other wing, which is hope. And the opposite is also true. Although yes, we do encourage us to have hope, but it shouldn't be to the point where we're leaning on the side of hope so much, thinking Allah forgives all sins, Allah is the most merciful, so now no matter what I do, Allah will have mercy upon me, Allah will forgive me, and he goes and he doesn't care about what he does, and he sins and sins and sins. And this is the state of many people today. If you come and tell them that, look, Allah has forbidden this, Allah has forbidden that, they say Allah is the most merciful. And they indulge in their sins. So we shouldn't put too much emphasis on hope that we forget about fear. And we shouldn't put too much emphasis on fear that we forget about hope. The second lesson that we learn from this, from Allah's mercy and these two names of Allah, Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim, is that we should show mercy to others if we want the mercy of Allah. If we want Allah to show us mercy, then we should show mercy to others. The Prophet ﷺ said, "Ar-Rahimuna yarhamuhum ar-Rahman." Those who show mercy to others will have Ar-Rahman to show mercy to them. إِرْحَمُوا مَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ يَرْحَمُكُمْ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاءِ. Show mercy to those on earth, and the one who is in the heavens will show mercy towards you. And this is the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That how we behave with others is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deals with us. And there are so many examples of this. This is only one example where Allah is saying, show mercy to others and Allah will show mercy to you. In another hadith, the Prophet ﷺ says that those who help others, Allah will help them. Whoever relieves a calamity for a believer, Allah will relieve for him one of the calamities on the Day of Judgment. ما كان الله في عون ما كان الله في عون العبد إن الله في عون العبد ما كان العبد في عون أخيه. That as long as you are helping others, Allah will help you. And so on and so forth. Thirdly, learn the things that bring about the mercy of Allah. Learn the things that bring about the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, Surah Al-A'raf, in verse 56, Inna rahmatallahi qareebun min al-muhsinin. That the rahmah, the mercy of Allah, is very near to those who do good, the muhsinin. Also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-A'raf, وَإِذَا قُرِئَ الْقُرْآنُ فَاسْتَمِعُوا لَهُ وَأَنْصِتُوا لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ. When the Quran is being recited, listen to it attentively, be silent, so that what? So that you may be shown mercy. So that you may be shown mercy by Allah, obviously. So there are different things that will help us to gain that mercy of Allah. Among those things, there are so many ahadith. In one hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, may Allah have mercy on a man who is kind when he buys. He is kind when he sells. And he is kind when he makes demands. So in buying and selling, you're not too rigid. You're flexible, both when buying and when selling. The Prophet ﷺ says, Allah shows mercy to such people. Also in another hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, may Allah have mercy on the man who gets up at night to pray and he wakes up his wife. And if she refuses, he sprinkles water in her face. And then he said, and may Allah have mercy on the woman who gets up at night to pray and she wakes up her husband to pray, and if he refuses, she sprinkles water in his face. So in both cases, the Prophet ﷺ said, may Allah have mercy on such people. And there are so many different ahadith that tell us about those who gain the mercy of Allah by doing certain things. And so we should try our best to learn what are those things that will help us to gain the mercy of Allah. Finally, this attribute of Allah, the mercy of Allah, and Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim, teach us that the importance of asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His mercy and being adamant about it. What do I mean by that? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when one of you makes dua, when one of you makes dua, he should not say, Allahumma ighfir li idha shi't. Allahumma arhamni idha shi't. He should not say, oh Allah, forgive me if you wish. Oh Allah, have mercy upon me if you wish. But rather, he should beg Allah. The Prophet ﷺ said, rather he should beg Allah with certainty, with conviction, that yes, Allah will show me mercy. Allah will forgive me. And then he said, for no one has the power to compel Allah. No one has the power to compel Allah. But rather, He does what He wishes. And as long as we turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in dua with a broken heart and an honest heart, then we should never think negatively about Allah. We should never think that, you know, maybe Allah will forgive me, maybe He won't. Especially if we are sincere and we are honest and we come to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with a broken heart. So these are some of the things that the rahmah of Allah teach us. And these are some of the things that we learn from these two names of Allah, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to shower His mercy upon us. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to not only show us mercy in this dunya, but more importantly, to show us mercy in the akhirah. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين صلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.